Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so if you've ever joined us on Facebook Live, you should probably do that today, especially because of what you would see on the screen right now. So if you want to go, if you're a Facebook person, odds are pretty good that you are. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook and just jump in there. You're going to see me in the studio here during the show, and you're going to see a couple other things on the. You're going to see a couple other things here on the screen. You're going to see a what looks to be like the head of a statue of George Washington on fire, which is in fact essentially what it is. They wrap this as Antifa, who knows who else was there. This was in Portland last night, and they wrapped an American flag around his neck and set it on fire. And then on the main part of the base, they wrote "genocidal colonist." Okay, so there's some other things, and then they toppled it. You'll see a picture of the toppled George Washington there, and of course it's because he was a slave owner, and obviously a genocidal colonist. So another things that they wrote on there when they defaced it. So I'm going to talk about that, but maybe I should go here first. From a police officer in Seattle, absolute madness here, can't even express it all. Day 14 for us, and our mayor in chief abandoned a major precinct and gave it to the anarchists. Unthinkable. 9 blocks of our city under the complete control of these terrorists. No joke. This is unreal. No police, no fire department, no sanity allowed in. They have an armed force patrolling, manning checkpoints and stopping cars and citizens at gunpoint. They are creating a currency, an ID system, a supply system that includes food, water, ammo, and chemical weapons. They have access to the precinct and have made it their HQ. Our quote-unquote leaders are completely silent, and the city council is completely complicit. Yes, they have been on the front lines with the anarchists, and yes, the other night one council member led about 200 people into the city hall. The warlord in charge of the new Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, when they called it Chaz, drives a Tesla and has been arrested for drugs, guns, pimping, and crimes against children and is on the federal child porn watch list. He carries an AK-47 and has already started abusing people inside. What the blank? From a police officer in Seattle. I was on a Zoom call this morning with a bunch of brothers in the Lord, and one of them has a friend that's a cop in Chicago, happens to be an African-American, and he's talking about what's happening to the cops in Chicago, and they're being spit on and yelled at and called names. And one thing he said was some in the crowds and these riots and stuff, some people are able to light and slip an M80 in between the vest and the shirt of the cop in the mayhem. An M80. Which is a serious explosive device, okay? It's not a firecracker. Those are illegal here in North Carolina. And all that kind of craziness going on. Crazy. And then, let's jump out of the mayhem and the fray of all that. Let's go over to across the street from the U.S. Congress, the Supreme Court of the United States. I did a video about this the other day, about a 10-minute video. If you haven't seen it on my Facebook page, go watch that, but I'm going to do it here on the show, too, because it's an important topic. Obviously, listen to this. This is on CNN. Okay, Tuesday, June 16th on CNN. Two conservative justices joined decision expanding LGBTQ rights. If you're not woke enough yet, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer. Usually there's a plus sign. CNN, 5 years after the U.S. Supreme Court declared a fundamental right for same-sex couples to marry, the justices produced another landmark for the gay rights movement by ruling that federal anti-bias laws cover millions of gay, lesbian, and transgender workers. Monday's decision came at the hands of an unusual six-justice coalition on the 9-member bench, cloaked in legalistic textualist reading of the statute, but nonetheless reflecting a cultural transformation in America. Stop right there, which is not the job of the Supreme Court of the United States. They should not be doing anything to transform the culture in America. Advise and consent. We think this is unconstitutional. We think this is fine. End of story. But that's not what happened. Again, this is CNN I'm reading from. The ruling joint, and they might as well put those little emoji things when you do congratulations or happy birthday and all the little confetti flies all over the page, right? The ruling joins the annals of high court decisions of the last quarter century that have helped drive gay progress on a myriad of fronts, including the 2003 decision striking down statutes that criminalized sodomy and a 2013 action that invalidated a federal law that denied married same-sex couples the Social Security and other benefits given the opposite-sex couples. Now, when I come back from the break and I expand on this, because I won't finish in this first segment, this isn't primarily... The reason I'm so upset here isn't because this is, quote unquote, helping gay people and transgendered people. My primary reason for being as ticked off about this as I am is because it's a complete just destruction of ignoring of absolute giving over of the authority and the original intent of the U.S. Constitution. Because these guys and gals, six members of the U.S. Supreme Court, including John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who was maybe a conservative in a former life, but he ain't on the court. How the heck that happened, I don't know. And then, shocker of shockers, who wrote the majority opinion? None other than Neil Gorsuch, the first Supreme Court judge replacement nominated and confirmed from the Donald Trump administration. Here's the big rub, is they went back to the 1964 Title VII landmark decision, okay, dealing with discrimination. Can't discriminate based on age, sex, race, okay, all those things, to which all of us should say amen. In 1964, okay, here's a little quiz for you, friends, here in the class. Here's a quiz for you. In 1964... I would say AD 64, BC 5000, and then 2020. But let's just stick to the case. In 1964 in the United States of America, when we said you cannot discriminate based on sex, what did we mean? Class, we can't discriminate based on sex. What did we mean here in the good old US of A in 1964? We meant gender, sex, male, female, any outie, end of story. That's what it meant in 1964. That's the original intent of the law, and that law had no issues with the Constitution of the United States. And it's fine. That was the ruling. It's fine. That's the way it should be. Don't discriminate based on sex. Now, in post-Christian, post-modern America, you just get to redefine words. And now our Supreme Court, with two quote-unquote conservatives, one came up in the Trump administration, decided to redefine the word sex, which apparently is just trendy now. We'll pick it up there when we come back. This is Steve Noble as America Burns. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. All right, back at it as Rome is burning. Modern-day Rome, of course, here in the United States of America. And I know that sounds like, of course, I'm being figurative somewhat, although if you're joining us here on Facebook Live, you're going to see the whole hour. You're going to see this little video of the George Washington statue in Portland with George's head on fire. It's not his head on fire, actually. It's the American flag that they wrapped around his neck and set on fire and then wrote genocidal colonist on the side of the column that he's standing on and then eventually toppled it. And they wrote genocidal colonist, which doesn't make any sense because usually when they say genocidal, they're going back to the American Indians, and George Washington didn't have much to do with that. Genocidal colonist, 1619, which was the year. By the way, remember, your history is so important. We had the religious separatists known as the Puritans, known as the Pilgrims, came to Plymouth, right? They fled for religious liberty. They were godly people. They had a great relationship with the local Indians. That's awesome. Down in Jamestown, they were like America today, like super just given over scumbags. They brought the first slaves over in 1619. That's the relevance of that being on the statue. 1619, another one, you're on native lands. This is what they spray painted on there. You can see the pictures on Facebook Live right now for the Steve Noble Show. You're on native lands, BLM, murderer, Big Floyd, referencing George Floyd, and F cops. They spelled it out. So that's there. That's in Portland last night. That's why I'm saying America's burning, because figuratively it is. This has all happened in 6 months. There's no question about that. if you're a Christian and you know much about eschatology and end times, you know that this was inevitable. It's one thing to know it and to see it and read about it and understand it. It's another thing to actually be living in it. So figuratively, spiritually, in many ways, literally, America's burning. All right, back to this because I want to stay on this. Back to what the Supreme Court did the other day. So here's the problem. They took the 1964 Title VII law that says you can't discriminate based on sex, and they decided in their black robes sitting up on high that they would just redefine it. You want to redefine the word sex in the United States of America in law? You know how you do that, class? Anybody in the civics class? How do you do that? Oh, you pass a law, right? Or you change a law. Where do you do that? You do that in the Congress of the United States. Why in the Congress, Steve? I'm so glad you asked, because that's where we have actually direct elected representatives in the House and in the Senate. The House every 2 years so that we can get to them faster. They're more susceptible to the will of the people. The Senate to be a moderating force every 6 years. Two per state evens out, has nothing to do with population. In the House, we populate the House based on the population of each state. That's where you decide what a law is. And if you can't get a law passed or if you can't get a law changed, you don't have enough will of the people to do it. Therefore, nice try. Give it a shot next time. Do a better job in the elections. Win more seats. And then you can pass your stuff. That's how it works. That's a natural check and balance. That's great. But now the Supreme Court, which is way out of its lane and has been for decades, just decides because they're smarter than the rest of us because they sit up higher and wear black robes, apparently, that we're just going to flat out think and redefine the word sex to include sexual orientation and transgenderism. Therefore, you cannot discriminate based on sex, which includes homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism. They just full cloth, six members, not directly elected, including two quote unquote conservatives. I knew John Roberts was given over a while ago, but Neil Gorsuch? More confusion, more chaos, more upside down. America burns. And they just flat out said, well, sex includes this now. And Kavanaugh, to his credit, was like, this is a problem. This is not what the court's meant to do. This is legislating from the bench. This is judicial activism at its worst. And all they did was punt on the elephant in the room, which is religious liberty. So I hire Mary to come work at the Little Lambs preschool at Church XYZ that believes the Bible and is evangelical. And then Mary decides she's going to be Bill. And I'm going to become a man. And that whole gender thing and the Bible, yeah, I'm not with that anymore. I'm done with that. Well, you no longer can subscribe to the statement of faith. You can no longer uphold this ideals of this organization, in this case, a church, which has a right, a constitutionally protected First Amendment right to practice its religion and has a right to hire and fire based on that. If you want to come work at the front office of the church and you're a pro-choice lesbian, now there's some denominations where you can go be the pastor for that matter, but in conservative evangelical denominations, you can't. And before, the court would say, yeah, you have a right to express your opinion religiously, run your religious organization with protection from government interference. Now, though, they just took that away on this particular front. They said, you can't violate Title VII from 1964 because sex now includes homosexuality and transgenderism. So now a Christian college, a church itself, a ministry, whatever. Now, by government power, the Supreme Court's saying the federal government can force you to hire or not fire somebody that all of a sudden or over the history of their lives say, I don't agree with that thing from the Bible. I don't agree with your statement of faith. I don't agree with your position on this, but you owe me a job or you can't fire me because I changed my mind. No, that's a total violation of the First Amendment protection for churches and religious organizations, be it Christian or Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish, whatever. But these guys just, because they're cultural Marxists now, and they just want to redefine everything. Neil Gorsuch, what in the world, dude? What is that? It's a horrifically unconstitutional maneuver. Way over the top. Just unbelievable. And then they did the same thing with DACA. Now, they left a little wiggle room in the DACA decision, And Trump, because he's such a narcissist, says, well, obviously the Supreme Court hates me. But I'm like, dude, but believe it or not, not everything's about you. A lot of things are, but not everything. But the DACA thing, too, they left that open a little bit. Oh, well, the Trump administration can handle this in a certain way that it can get around it. But still, guess who has control over the immigration policies of the United States of America, according to the U.S. Constitution, if that even old rag even matters anymore? That would be the executive branch, run by Donald Trump. Love him or leave him. That's where the authority resides. And he should be able to dump DACA tomorrow. If he wants to. Elections have consequences. Okay? So that's all this constitutional stuff. By the way, today is June 19th. I will end up talking about that. It's Juneteenth. Now, before you get all bent out of shape, thinking that it's just some crazy liberal Antifa BLM maneuver, June 19th and what it represents, Juneteenth, is an incredibly important day in U.S. history. I agree with Ben Shapiro on this. It should be a national holiday. It's a state holiday in, gosh, how many states? It's a state holiday in 47 states. I'll explain it to you when we get to the last segment of the show, and I'll also read to you what I wrote this morning about America burning relative to what we see going on, relative to the pictures you see on Facebook Live with the George Washington statue on fire and then eventually toppled, because there's messages in there that you need to hear. So I'm going to get there and explain about Juneteenth. Ben Shapiro thinks it should be a national holiday. I agree. Okay? And that's not pandering. It's pandering in Congress because they haven't been able to pass it before. I guarantee you they're going to pass it now. There's all kinds of pandering going on, but that's not truth. My allegiance as a follower of Jesus Christ is to the truth as best as I can grab it and use it. And I don't care particularly what people think of me because of that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, trying to keep it all together as America burns on many different levels, figuratively, literally, spiritually, all kinds of stuff. So that's why if you're on Facebook Live today, you see this charming little video that's repeating of a George Washington statue in Portland where they wrapped an American flag around his neck, set that on fire, wrote genocidal colonists on one side of the column. You can see that in the video. And then they eventually toppled it and wrote a bunch of other things on there, like 1619, which is all about when slaves first came to America. That was Jamestown, where all the psycho scumbags were, versus Plymouth, where the religious separatists were, the actual Puritans. You're on Native Lands, BLM, Murder, Big Floyd, which is a reference to George Floyd, and F, Cops. Speaking of cops, heard it just from a great brother this morning, who's a Chicago policeman, who was sharing things that were just really alarming and heartbreaking. He couldn't be with me on the show today, but he's going to call in next week. So we'll talk to somebody that's on the front line. He happens to be an African-American, so you're going to hear that perspective. And we'll talk to him next week, and you can hear from the front lines without any spin from any media, just from the source itself. That's what we used to call journalism. Next week, okay? So that's going to be awesome. So let's continue to look at some of these things as America burns. This was so Trump's rally tomorrow in Tulsa. So originally it was scheduled for today. I think it was wise for him to move it off of Juneteenth, which I'll take you down the Juneteenth road, which if you're hearing Juneteenth and you're getting triggered about that, thinking Black Lives Matter and anarchists and blah, 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 hold on, because it is an incredibly important day in U.S. history. I agree with Ben Shapiro on this one, like I said before, that it should be a national holiday. And along with that, Ben Shapiro is like, and besides that, I think we should put Frederick Douglass on some of our currency. I would agree with that as well. An incredible American. Now, a lot of Black Lives Matter people won't like putting Frederick Douglass on there because he was, kind of like a Republican of old and conservative in many ways and just an American hero. But they wouldn't like that, especially not Black Lives Matter. Why? I play this for my Facebook Live friends, but let me play it for you on the air. You guys got to hear this. So this is one of the gals who's one of the three co-founders of Black Lives Matter. And just so everybody's, just so nobody's confused, the Black Lives Matter organization, she's being interviewed on something called Real News, and she just comes right out with it. So listen to this.
I also think that it might I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists.
What was that? Trained Marxists. I appreciate the honesty. Just trained Marxists, okay? I can play that one more time for you because I know it's a little low. I didn't have time to load it up on the computer. So I'm going to put it up against the mic again. I'll try to make it a little louder, okay? And then check it out.
I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists.
Okay, so hopefully you heard that. She's just saying we're trained organizers, meaning Saul Alinsky, radicalism 101, probably funded by George Soros. And we're trained Marxists. We're trained Marxists. Okay, so that's why I have a problem with chanting along with everybody else Black Lives Matter, because they are the recipient of some of that energy and some of those literally tens of millions and now hundreds of millions of dollars in cash. So that, are they anarchists? No. They're Marxists, which want to control everything. Anarchists just want to cut loose everything. Because they trust in the good nature of mankind, right? So we've got the Tulsa thing tomorrow for Trump, which is going to be massive. Trump's organization said that they've had like a million requests for tickets. Who knows? The place holds 20,000 people. They got all kinds of things going on there to try to deal with that. But let's make sure between now and then, this is tomorrow in Tulsa, this should be something we'll pray about after the show is over today on Facebook Live. We'll pray about this because this could go south fast. Because if you get all these, some BLM people, if you get the Antifa people showing up and they go at it with this Trump crowd, with a MAGA crowd, that's not going to go well for them. The insurgents aren't going to win there. They don't even need cops around for that. It'll just be a mob attack of Trump supporters on whoever shows up. And the more violent the people that show up, if they're Antifa, whatever, the more violent the Trump crowd's going to get. And it's just going to be a matter of a mass swarming over them. And I don't want to see that. You shouldn't want to see it either. We should desire peace, not peace at all costs, but we should desire that in our country, especially right now. So Trump warns, this is from Fox News, anarchists not to disrupt Tulsa rally after threat prompts emergency order. President Trump issued a warning to groups who may be looking to disrupt his campaign rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is tomorrow. Trump tweeted that there would be a huge price to pay if rioting or looting break out in Oklahoma City while he's in town. He pointedly warned anarchists and other agitators, quote unquote, not to disrupt his campaign rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend after an apparent threat that outside groups may be planning to cause unrest at the scene. Quote, any protesters, anarchists, agitators, looters, or lowlifes who are going to Oklahoma, please understand, you will not be treated like you have been in New York, Seattle, or Minneapolis, Trump tweeted Friday. It will be a much different scene. You can probably understand that. The president's tweet comes after Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum, a Republican, declared a civil emergency and announced a curfew near the arena where Trump plans to hold the campaign rally on Saturday. Bynum, in his order, said, in the interest of national security, he would establish a federal exclusion zone in the vicinity of the rally. Bynum cited recent civil unrest, expected crowds in excess of 100,000 in the vicinity of the rally, and opposition protest in his decision to place a federal exclusion zone for a six-block radius near the arena. Due to the threat and related factors, Bynum imposed a curfew in the vicinity of the rally from late Thursday night to 6 a.m. on Saturday, the day of the rally, and from the conclusion of the rally Saturday night until 6 a.m. on Sunday. The curfew prohibits people from walking, running, loitering, standing, or motoring upon any alley, valley, highway, public property, sidewalk, or vacant premises within the city covered by the curfew. So, and how they're going to handle social distancing and all that stuff, I have no idea. But you know what's happening already. The liberals going ballistic that this Trump rally is so dangerous. It's endangering people. Joy Behar said on Tuesday's ABC The View, Trump doesn't care about his supporters' health and safety because he's willing to hold a rally amid the pandemic, and that his rally is more risky than the protests because it'll be indoors, whereas the protesters are mostly outdoors. Okay, Joy. Of course, everybody all over the place, including mayors, including my mayor here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and then governors are all like, hey, you know, this is the Black Lives Matter rallies. Man, that's good for public health. But anything else? Nope. Church services? Nope. Restaurants? Nope. The exact day the experts lost their credibility. This is from an article in The Federalist. claiming the protests were, quote, vital to the national public health and to be threatened health and to the threatened health specifically of black people in the United States. The woke corporate press scrambled to assure us this wasn't hypocritical at all and that health is about more than simply remaining free of coronavirus infection, as a pair of epidemiologists put it in The Atlantic. That's a curious argument, this author writes from The Federalist, to make after forced business closures and lockdowns ordered destroyed tens of millions of American jobs, ruined countless businesses and livelihoods, and caused a sharp uptick in suicides, drug overdoses, and domestic abuse. Never mind the compelling research showing that lockdowns are overall much worse for public health than the coronavirus. But if public health experts cared about more than just steering clear of the coronavirus at any cost, you wouldn't have known it based on their pandemic policies. That is, until the George Floyd protests and Black Lives Matter rallies came along. Here at last was something more important than stopping the virus, right? And that's what's going on here. Which brings me back here, hometown, a little bit, in North Carolina. So I'm in Raleigh, now the Raleigh mayor, who really can't enforce this. And it's kind of a suggestion, even though it reads like an order. It's like, okay, if you can't social distance, you got to wear masks. Governor Roy Cooper, Comrade Cooper, discussed Thursday the release of a coronavirus proposal next week, including a possible statewide mandate for face masks. Statewide. I had a Christian sister on Facebook this morning. It's like you need a face mask to buy and sell. Where have we heard that before, that idea? Kind of like the mark of the beast, right? I'm not saying that's what this is, but it's a good little foreshadow of it, isn't it? Wearing the garment over your nose and mouth is a low-cost way to slow the spread of the coronavirus without hurting the economy, Cooper said. Quote, we don't want to have to impose those restrictions unless it's important to further the public health. This is the guy that is okay with killing babies. And by the way, if they're born alive from a botched abortion, we shouldn't pass a law to force that you have to save them. Same guy. See the problem there? And we know the evidence is continuing to pile up how important it is to wear these, Cooper said. What? The evidence is piling up that it's so important to wear the masks? No, sir. The evidence has not piled up there. Now, you can find a different opinion around every corner, but I thought this one was important. This is from an OSHA 10 and 30 certified person about N95 masks, surgical masks, and filter or cloth masks. Oh, this isn't going to make me very popular. All right, there's several things here I want to get through, and I'm going to hit the break in about 30 seconds, so I'm just going to get started. N95 masks, these are the big gnarly ones, right, are designed for contaminated environments. That means when you exhale through N95, the design that is that you are exhaling into contamination. The exhale from N95 masks are vented to breathe straight out of without filtration. They don't filter the air on the way out. They don't need to. Conclusion. If you're in a store and the guy with COVID-19 has an N95 mask, his COVID breath is unfiltered, being exhaled all over the place. So if you're sick and you wear an N95 mask, you're accomplishing absolutely nothing for yourself or anybody else. Surgical mask, the cloth mask, talk about that, then we'll talk about Juneteenth. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Jumping right back in because I want to finish up the little mask thing that I was reading you. Then we're going to talk about Juneteenth, and we'll finish with something I wrote this morning and shared on social media, America Burning. So the N95 masks, this is from somebody that's OSHA certified. N95 masks, that's the big gnarly one. That only works if you're in a contaminated situation. If you have COVID and you wear an N95 mask, it's not blocking it as it goes out. So it's for use in a contaminated environment, okay? So if you have it and you wear an N95 mask, it doesn't matter, okay? Surgical masks. These masks were designed and approved for sterile environments. The amount of particles and contaminants in the outside and indoor environments where people are will clog these masks very quickly. The moisture from your breath combined with the clogged mask will render it essentially useless. If you come into contact with COVID and your mask traps it, you become a walking virus dispenser. Every time you put your mask on, you're breathing the germs from everywhere you went. They should be changed or thrown out every 20 to 30 minutes in a non-sterile environment. Think that's happening? Neither do I. Cloth masks. This is all the rage now. Like Birkenstocks from the 60s. Cloth masks. Today, three people pointed to their masks as they walked by me entering Lowe's. They said, you got to wear your mask, bro. I said very clearly, those masks don't work, bro. In fact, they make you sicker. This is an OSHA certified person writing this. And I looked at the OSHA's website, by the way, earlier, and it confirms this information. By now, hopefully you all know cloth masks do not filter anything. You mean the American flag one that my aunt made? Yep. The one with sunflowers that looks so cute? Yep. The bandana, the cut-up t-shirt, the scarf, all of them offer no filtering whatsoever. As you exhale, you're ridding your lungs of contaminants and carbon dioxide. Cloth masks trap this carbon dioxide the best. It actually risks your health. The moisture caught in these masks can become mildew-ridden overnight. Dry coughing, enhanced allergy, sore throat are all symptoms of a micro mold in your mask. Ultimate answer, N95 blows the virus into the air from a contaminated person. Protects you if there's contaminated people around you. That's why it's used in contaminated environments. But it's not going to protect anybody else. A surgical mask is not designed for the outside world and will not filter the virus upon inhaling through it. Its filtration works on the exhale. Like a vacuum bag, it only works one way. And by the way, when you get into the OSHA site, it says that because it's loose fitting and everything, it's not going to work. It's not going to protect you from COVID. And if you have COVID, it's not going to protect the people around you because it's loose fitting. Doesn't work. Cloth masks are worse than none, they say. Wow, how about that? The CDC wants us to keep wearing masks. The masks don't work. Interesting, isn't it? So in North Carolina, whether it's the mayor or the governor, my answer to you is nope. And some people say, hey, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Yeah, to a point. If Caesar's all of a sudden forcing you to do something that's against scripture, you know, like love your neighbor as yourself, then you have a biblical right to not obey. Okay, Juneteenth. Today is Juneteenth, June 19th. June 19th commemorates the effective end of slavery in the United States. Juneteenth, short for June 19th, marks the day when federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas in 1865 to take control of the state and ensure that all enslaved people be freed. The troops' arrival came a full 2.5 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. Juneteenth honors the end of slavery in the United States and is considered the longest-running African-American holiday. Confederate General Robert E. Lee had surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse 2 months earlier in Virginia, but slavery had remained relatively unaffected in Texas until U.S. General Gordon Granger stood on Texas soil and read General Order No. 3, which states, "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free." The Emancipation Proclamation issued by President Abraham Lincoln on June 1, 1863, had established that all enslaved people in Confederate states in rebellion against the Union shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free. But in reality, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't instantly free any enslaved people. The proclamation only applied to places under Confederate control and not to slaveholding border states or rebel areas already under Union control. However, as Northern troops advanced into the Confederate South, many enslaved people fled behind the Union lines. In Texas, slavery had continued as the state experienced no large-scale fighting or significant presence of Union troops. Many enslavers from outside the Lone Star State had moved there as they viewed it as a safe haven for slavery. We're talking about Juneteenth, which is today, June 19th. After the war came to a close in the spring of 1865, General Granger's arrival in Galveston that June signaled freedom for Texas's 250,000 enslaved people. Although emancipation didn't happen overnight for everyone, in some cases, enslavers withheld the information until the harvest season, celebrations broke out among newly freed black people and Juneteenth was born. That December, slavery in America was formally abolished with the adoption of the 13th Amendment. The year following 1865, freed men in Texas organized the first of what became the annual celebration of Jubilee Day on June 19th. In the ensuing decades, Juneteenth commemorations featured music, barbecues, prayer services, and other activities. And as black people migrated from Texas to other parts of the country, the Juneteenth tradition spread. In 1979, Texas became the first state to make Juneteenth an official holiday. Today, 47 states recognize Juneteenth as a state holiday, while efforts to make it a national holiday have so far stalled in Congress. You can bet that's over. Now virtue signaling demands it. But I think history demands it. I think this should have been a national holiday a while ago. Ben Shapiro thinks that. I think that's sound reasoning. This is a huge issue in America's past. We need to own our past, just like you and I as Christians. Own your junk. Confess it. Repent of it. But you got to own it. And I think that's helpful for the national conscience, too, by the way. That we should nationally celebrate the day, effectively, that slavery ended. Now, I'm looking at a Google Trends chart since 2004, and on June 19th, every year since 2004, it's a small blip on the radar screen. Small blip, okay? But it doubled a little bit on 2018 and 2019. Now it's at the top, the highest rankings for Google trending in terms of searches. It's above everything. It's the number one search right now on Google out of 10 billion searches a month. It's the number one search right now, Juneteenth. Okay? So it's important. But now it's got all kinds of energy behind it. So then you have to discern is what's pandering and what isn't. Well, you know what? When I say things, when I do things, I'm not going to pander. That needs to be done, and it should have been done already. So, and they'll pass it now, and then they'll all jump on the bandwagon and pander because that's what politicians do. Okay, so I put these images up. Portland last night, George Washington, statue, they wrap a flag around his neck, set it on fire, write all kinds of horrible things on it, and then topple it over. This is what I wrote this morning. This is where we are on June 19th, 2020 in America, Juneteenth. 6 months ago, everything seemed to be normal and moving in the right direction on many fronts. Then a virus shows up on our shores and we rush to judgment, act largely out of fear in politics, and topple our economy and state of mind. We did that to ourselves. Then the murder of George Floyd unlocks and gives voice to an important and heartbreaking issue, but also provides the key to unlock a level of civil unrest, disobedience, and lawlessness we have never seen in this nation. I just showed my wife these images and she said, what are they going to do next? Burn down the Jefferson Memorial? In fact, if they could, they would. But who are they anyway? They are lost. They are consumed with rage and bitterness. They are haters of God and haters of law and order. They are without peace. These are not the peaceful protesters I'm talking about, by the way. They are without purpose. They are without meaning. They are children of the devil. They are consumers of violent video games, violent movies, and violent music. They are haters of truth, haters of liberty, haters of history. They are covetous, jealous, and bitter. They are us, in a way. They are what we are, all of us, without Christ, without hope, and without meaning. And you, talking to believers now, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, obviously we see that now, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Ephesians 2:1-3. That's what you're seeing on the news with the violence, with Antifa, looting. Most of them are this, white, black, and otherwise. This is what unbridled lostness looks like when it takes to the streets. This is what the man of lawlessness looks like. This is what the entire world is headed for without Christ. George Washington was a great man, but like the rest of mankind, also a deeply flawed one. He had a profound faith and knowledge of God, yet stumbled in many ways like the rest of us. He has been a national hero for 250 years, despite the desire of some to see his memory wiped from view. For those who set his statue ablaze, defaced it, and toppled it, he represents everything they hate about America. But mostly, he represents the God of the Bible he tried to follow. Behind this violent mob's hatred of America is really their hatred of God. In many ways, America is a good representation of every imperfect Christ follower. We're capable of so much good, yet our good is stained by our sin. When we choose to focus on one aspect rather than being sober-minded about both, we become idolaters, worshiping with the music of either hatred or pride. On June 19, 2020, we have been given a glimpse of hell. We have been given a glimpse of what life looks like without God. We have been given a glimpse of what the man of lawlessness wants to see from sea to shining sea. We've been given a glimpse of the true fallen nature of mankind, and it ain't pretty. Apparently, 43 years of killing babies wasn't enough because it happened behind closed doors and under the cover of American so-called law. Now that depravity has spilled out into the streets for everyone to see. The same level of confusion and chaos and disorder that happens on the abortionist table is happening on Main Street. Our founding fathers, one after another, said that our form of government, self-government, would only work for a religious and moral people. That truth has never been more obvious than it is on June 19th, 2020. Today is known as Juneteenth, and it marks the day when the Emancipation Proclamation reached the last of the slaves in the Confederacy. Many will celebrate the end of slavery today, and they should, without realizing that the vast majority of Americans are still enslaved. Most Americans are enslaved by their sin, and it is only Jesus Christ who can emancipate them. Jesus Christ is the King who can't be toppled, and he reigns over the kingdom that will never end. He is the ultimate authority, and his law can never be thwarted or ignored. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the truth about his lordship. And that is the rock on which every Christian follower stands. So, be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. The day of the Lord draws nigh. Lift your eyes to heaven and remember your King. Praise God for your salvation and for the promises he will fulfill. Share this good news boldly and with compassion, knowing that it is the only hope for your American citizens. Finally, be of good cheer despite the evil and brokenness, because the night is always darkest just before.